Welcome to Has Been Airsoft. As usual, I'm your host, Megalo. This week we have...
the Golden Boy, Jungle, returning, back-to-back, People's Champion. You know who it is. To my right, we got...
we got Dave, who's just recording. And that's it. And then across from me, though, is the goddamn sexual tyrannosaur, Don G. Martino.
What's up, guys? I was going to try to quote something from... Predator, but...
yeah, doesn't matter.
I couldn't think.
Goddamn lockjaw faggots.
Ain't got time to bleed.
I ain't got time to bleed.
I was thinking between that or I ain't got time to bleed, but...
yeah. No, well, fair enough. Actually, time. Well, on that note, we...
want to know who does plenty of time to bleed?
Who has time to bleed?
Spartan Productions, because Rob got canceled.
Wow!
Can I drop this mic now, or I'll let you drop it?
No, don't drop the mic. First off, it's not ours, it's Scuba's, and it's kind of expensive.
Yeah. Fair enough. All right, so from there, yes, their op did get canceled. We saw that came through, what, yesterday?
Yeah,
that dropped late last night, that they put the announcement out that Operation Deep Freeze in New Jersey is officially canceled. So we're going to talk about that to start this off, just because it was kind of... a relatively hyped AO in the Northeast. First-time event producer, trying to get their name out there, get their feet in the pond.
So I guess let's actually break this down step by step. So who is Spartan? Where'd they come from? Do you know?
I have no fucking clue.
Based out of Jersey. That's pretty much it. And this was their first game that they were going to put out. They announced two.
Are they Prior Mill? Do we know anything about them?
Don't know. Okay.
They got a good website.
Yeah,
I have not seen their website.
Website's pretty solid. I looked into their op board and stuff for the game. They did their research.
Okay.
It's not a bullshit put together kind of game.
What? Just obviously, because you know the question I'm going to ask. What were their medic rules like?
I actually didn't read that because I don't care.
No one cares about
you're the only medic.
Other than you.
You're the only medic in this whole group.
What are their saw rules? Can I use my saw indoors?
No, it's not indoors. No, it's actually expressly prohibited. You cannot use a saw full auto indoors.
I would just like to draw something. When you said that, you sounded like Zoidberg. Can I use my saw indoors?
Can I use my Zoidberg? Saw indoors? I want to take people's heads off, yes?
But yeah, their rules are pretty solid.
The rules are bad, you should feel bad.
Typical Northeast rules where... okay.
Yeah, saw is good. Whatever it was. It's the 25 over AEG limit, for FPS. They actually broke down a Joule chart as well, so that way anyone who's using HPA, you could clearly track what was allowed, what wasn't.
Directly on their website.
Yeah, oh, wow. That's
here's the rules. Here's the Joule chart. You right. use this FPS to this, everything.
It was so awesome. First-time event producer, I'm going to assume not Prior Mill, otherwise they would plug the fuck out of that like everyone who's Prior Mill who runs Airsoft game does.
I mean, I didn't see anything on there. They might have...
no, they were pretty quiet on any kind of Mill LEO association, so I'm going to assume they were probably Airsoft players that decided to...
give it a try. Company. Yeah.
Okay. So now, this AO, what exactly is it? Because I know what happened, I just don't know anything about it. We know it's some kind of factory.
It was a factory facility.
It's an industrial site. That's really all I got.
Okay.
Is failing me right
the
now.
What came out yesterday was Fire Marshal showed up, said, this facility cannot be occupied, basically.
Yeah, so based on what they put out, the Fire Marshal came down for an inspection and said the only way you will be allowed to use this, based on what you're saying you're using it for, is to have an entire new fire suppression system installed in a de-energized building. So for anyone who doesn't know how expensive that is, you're talking tens of millions of dollars based on the square footage of this place.
Yeah.
So it's not feasible to try and do.
Because you need to restore it to electrical code and then set it up to fire code.
Correct. On top of replacing every head, every pipe, repressurize it, test it, it is a nightmare.
It's a whole lot of, this does not make a whole lot of sense.
Well, that's actually kind of where I'm wondering what the real story behind this is. Because, there's more permitting involved to do an event like this than just getting the fire marshal involved. And the story that was told was that this facility, the town wants to make into a Superfund site.
Yes.
because you know it probably is an environmental hazard. Like I'm not gonna dance around that point. It's an abandoned factory. It's an environmental
every
hazard.
Every factory that is abandoned in the Northeast has some sort of lead or asbestos in it.
Yeah.
That to tear it down, you're creating a Superfund site.
But about those tickets, last time we're using this AO.
Coming back full circle from last week.
Plus, you know, heavy metal, stuff like that.
Yeah.
How heavy is your metal?
So my issue is...
How many riffs?
The heaviest of metals.
And what I'm thinking is that they kind of assumed they could fly under the town's radar. And I'm assuming they'd got no permiture whatsoever. And at the last minute, the town came to them and said, look, at least let the fire marshal walk through and make sure nobody's going to die.
Actually, I don't know about that, because I was reading a lot of the comments, and from their Facebook, they had flat out said, no, we were working with town officials for up to 6 months prior to this.
Working with doesn't mean they got approval.
It does not. Because it doesn't, but at least that,
It's very careful wording.
Yes.
Because notice they say town officials.
Well, they're not obviously not going to make, you know.
I'm not specifying names, but specifying position.
Yeah.
The mayor.
Yeah, just talking to the mayor.
The impression that I got is that it seemed like they may have had a handshake agreement from the landowner to, yeah, you can use this. And then as it started to develop, more details came out, they were probably like, I don't know if I'm comfortable using it for this.
Yeah, I wonder if it was maybe the landowner didn't tell them how much in trouble the site was in with the town.
Yeah.
They didn't tell the landowner and give him a good idea of what was really happening. And as they got closer to setting up, he probably said, some kid's gonna fucking die here this weekend.
Right. Let me stick the fire marshal on him, and my hands are clean because
I'm
not.
Yeah, and he still gets his money out
down.
Of it because they probably put a deposit down anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they pretty much said that there were a lot of local politics going on throughout this entire process. So, you know, we may be way off base, but there's a lot of stuff that still is probably going to come out.
Yeah.
But for what we can discern from everything put online, it seems like there was a lot of pointing fingers between Spartan, the town, and the fire marshal all just doing a round robin at each other.
Yeah. So if anyone knows an inside story on this, you know, anonymous tips to hasbeenairsoft@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We will not name sources.
All sources will remain confidential.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But go ahead and hit us up, because we would love to break this story on on air.
Because, you know, I was speaking with a lot of guys, because a couple of local teams, like Task Force Neptune, was looking to go. A couple of their guys were going. And I saw they're pretty bummed that they weren't able to make it.
Yeah. And see, for them, it's not that big a deal because it was close. Like, they probably didn't
really
have to take much of any time off work.
Yeah.
You know, it was probably like, we'll drive out Friday night, we'll play the game, we'll drive home, you know, Sunday night or Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
But, like, people were looking to come from, like, all over for this game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this definitely kind of permeated through the Northeast, like, the Mid-Atlantic, that the site, I didn't really look into it too much.
I didn't hear anything about this up until it was canceled.
Right. It just seemed like it had a decent amount of hype. The person that we kind of put on blast a few shows ago for commenting on the Crimson Skies page is the one that linked to Deep Freeze.
Oh. Okay.
So, it's kind of been in our local community and others, you know, known, and people were looking to go to it.
I mean, I've known about Deep Freeze for months before that. It was kind of posted up, nothing too crazy, but like, every once it was like, oh, so-and-so is interested in an op here.
I also kind of wonder if they were just getting ahead of themselves a little bit. And maybe they were, you know, like I said when we were discussing it, that, like, I think they were trying to run before they were tying their shoes. Because this is their first op, and they're talking about having live drone footage piped back to the COs, like...
No, there's a company that does that. So there's a company that's...
But, like, to bring
Coast.
That element into your event?
Oh, I think, you know, you're definitely trying to ball before you crawl by...
100%.
Having that for your first event, like, that's ambitious.
Yeah.
But to your point, like, Third Coast and Centurion both take advantage of that. I forget the company's name, but there's a company that offers, you know, live, real-time drone footage back to a known CP. But, again, that's kind of going off on a tangent.
Yeah.
But, so. Yeah, I'll definitely agree. They were probably way too far ahead of themselves.
Right. That's why, like, when I was reading a lot of what they were saying, I'm like, this just reeks of mind games.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's me being, like, pessimistic based on my experiences.
Yeah.
Or if it's me using my experiences to help, you know, view this objectively.
I mean, if you couldn't tell, we really like Mind Games Productions on this podcast.
100%.
They are our number one event producer that we
fully
best support.
Ever. Yeah. But, I mean, it is upsetting that this was their...
Never been, so I can't support them.
100%. This but was you can their
because there's hate in your heart. Let it out.
Their first game that they were looking to post.
Yeah.
And
no, it's definitely it's unfortunate. More competition in the Milsim event producer market is definitely better for everyone. Players, event producers. It sucks that this shot them down. Hopefully they do try another AO, another event.
Well, they do have disappear. They have a secondary event. Not like a secondary, but like they have a second event that they had posted up on their website that was for later this year. So this was going to be their first one, that being their second one. So with their calendar pushback, obviously due to the fire code and everything.
Yeah.
The one, I think it was South Carolina.
Okay.
I think it far. Is going to be their first op. Hopefully it works out really well for them. Cause
I'll definitely watch it because if they're going to be doing games in, you know, the Northeast, you know, yeah. in this middle, you know.
Even the Mid-Atlantic. There's a
viable travel yeah. distance region for us. Yeah.
Right.
But it's unfortunate to see that it just got taken down for yeah. something so simple that, yeah, it's out of their hands, but it could have been avoided to a percentage.
Yeah. I mean, but I guess in the end, they're making it right because they're giving refunds to people who paid.
They are.
They're not just taking the money and running.
Nope.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't want to sound like I'm being, like, super negative towards them. Because it seems like now that they have fucked up, this fuck up has happened, they're at least attempting to make it right. And all the people who were going, I spent all this money on getting yeah, ready so for the game, you can just go fuck yourself.
I wanted to talk about that, because like that what was getting me the most angry, reading the Facebook post, trying to get like actual details versus
crazy.
Just people ranting.
Crazy.
And just the air of entitlement that everyone on that thread had was disgusting.
Yeah.
Because like, yeah, you laid out money. What did you lay out money for? To rent nods. You don't need to rent nods to go to a goddamn airsoft event at an industrial site. No. Like, get fucked, my man. You're getting your admission refunded in full. If you put the cart before the horse by renting nods, that's not on the event producer.
Yeah,
you know?
Pretty much.
Like, I'm sorry, but
I understand that some people were upset. Yeah, there were people that are traveling further. Oh, I took off from work on, like, Thursday night, Friday, and Monday.
Yeah.
Like, I get that. That does suck. I mean, there were comments from the event producer saying, yeah, man, I took off work Friday and Monday, too, to get this, you know, to get this off yeah. the ground. I understand your anger, but there's nothing we can do about
and
this.
And for the people who are angry, like, look at what the event producer probably put into this. How many hours go
yeah.
into it? Like, what,
well,
from their standpoint, that's like, it's like getting blueballed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They lost so much.
Yeah.
And it's really, it's unfortunate that, you know, something trying so hard. And again, like I said before, they're op-ord. Very well written. Everything.
I'll have to give it a read.
They knew, it sounded like they knew what they were doing.
Okay. So next week I'm actually going to give a little review of their op-ord from
okay.
my perspective.
Go right ahead.
That's right. After I give it a quick read.
Bring it to the table.
Who the fuck reads op-ords?
Me.
He does. Because he cares about the medic rule.
Yeah.
Hold on. Demo, since you're going to Balcar Ridge, if you don't read the tax op, I'm going to print out one, give it to you, and if you lose that during the event, I'm going to make you do push-ups till you physically can't push anymore.
Can't catch me. I'll just run.
Oh, really? I don't think you know how quick I am.
Yeah, he's quick.
So
staple it to his hand.
What?
Can't lose it.
No, but it'll get crinkled.
It will get crinkled. There might be rain. But, like, I was talking to...
No, for Milsim West, that was, like, the only game I ever read the op-board for.
You have to.
I mean, it makes sense.
So,
you have to.
Yeah, integral to...
So, actually, before we go on to our next topic, I'd like to bring back up the... One of the things I proposed that we do was, like, a suggested reading and watch
okay.
list.
Oh, you proposed?
So, oh, yeah, I proposed.
What's his name?
To Milsim West.
Oh, that's cute.
To Papa Warren.
Yo, he's a handsome man. And he's my height.
Lord.
It's getting weird.
No, actually, so the video I wanted to bring up was
I looked into it after the last podcast. So Amped Airsoft does the medic rule with Josh Warren. There's a good video that they put out in their Pleb to Pro series. Milsim West as well, they have two videos on their YouTube channel that go over the grenade rules for hard cover versus soft cover. That's especially going to be applicable for Balcar Ridge. And the search procedures, because there seems to be a lot of confusion on if you consent to a search versus if you don't, what's allowed, what's not. Those were the three kind of, if you're a visual person, these go through it
yeah.
to the T, just watch the videos, understand it, read the tax op. If you don't understand it, rewatch the videos and kind of repeat that loop till it's crystal clear in your head.
Oh, Airsoft Obsessed had a video where it's him interviewing Josh Warren and
Brian Clarkson.
And they go over really like what you should be expecting out of a Milsom West game, their philosophy behind it, and like it gives you definitely a very good idea of what you're going to be walking into, I think. But now we got some local op radar.
Yeah, we're since we are a local, you know, themed podcast, we're there is an op announced recently in the past week or so that's coming back from the grave.
Yeah.
So Operation Jawbreaker is making its resurgence with the new feel. So I have kind of a love-hate relationship with this op because of my past experience.
See, and I have nothing but love for it because of my past experiences with it.
I know. Well, that's the two sides of the coin, you know? So I've, for those who don't know or haven't really played too many Jawbreakers, I have either been an advisor or the general for pretty much every Jawbreaker that has been hosted, except the most recent one that was in upstate New York.
Yeah.
So Jawbreaker himself reached out to me, let me know a few days before it was teased on Facebook that this is coming back. I've been going back and forth with him about planning what to try and do. And we got some cool ideas kicking around that I'm not going to blast out on here because that's G14 classified. But if you haven't been to a Jawbreaker event, I would say it is more Milsim themed than Crimson Skies. They try and really tell a story with each different one. It's all based on real world scenarios, and we try and kind of, it's
much more objective focused.
It's objective focused. It's more, you know, Milsim in the local, as Milsim as our local community allows us to do, because we don't have some of the tools that other areas or fields have. So it's us making do with what we have.
Okay, so what you were saying, it's, it tells a story. What is, I mean, obviously we know, you know, the prior thing of, you know, Operation Jawbreaker, going back to like the book and everything. What is the story? What's the running story right now?
All right. So the first Jawbreaker was Operation Jawbreaker, based on the real world Operation Jawbreaker, which was the hunt for bin Laden right after 9/11 in Afghanistan.
Yeah, yep. Starting in October 2001.
Yep, so that's, they sent the ODAs and all those cool guys where they almost had them in Tora Bora, and that was kind of the first Operation Jawbreaker that we kind of told as best we could. From there, there was a Operation Anaconda themed one. I'm blanking on what Jawbreaker 3 or 4 was, but it's pretty much any of the like Amazon bestsellers as far as major missions that happened during the War on Terror. Four in was Afghanistan.
One of, I know one of them was something, Anything Worth Dying For, I think it was the book.
The Only Thing Worth Dying
For. The Only Thing Worth Dying For. I know one of them, that was another ODA-based book that was
awesome. I think Four was based on that.
Yeah, so I think,
because the mission that I led Sigma on was like pulled right out of the book. It was when we were setting up the checkpoint on the roadway.
Yep, so that was The Only Thing Worth Dying For. That was about ODA Triple Nickel. I think Jawbreaker 3 was Operation Anaconda, and Jawbreaker 2 was just a continuation of the original Operation Jawbreaker.
Yeah.
5, I don't know if it was necessarily grounded in anything.
5 really wasn't grounded in anything.
Okay. So for this one, Joey and I are kicking some ideas around, but we're trying to bring it back
So actually, here's the question. Is this a reboot? Like, are we going back to Jawbreaker, or is this continuing?
Nope, it's continuing.
Okay.
So we're talking about trying to bring it to modern day now, and if there's anything that we can base it off of. So there's some ideas I have that I'm kicking around with him.
Where, do we need a certain flag?
I mean, if you have, like, I'd say the Iraqi National Guard, or
a black flag with perhaps some white symbols on it. Maybe you could get the version where they're dildos instead.
Sure. I mean, I'd say that might be a applicable flag for this one. So we'll see.
Keep that in mind.
Yeah.
All right.
We'll talk more offline.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
So
you were general at 1 and 2?
General at 1, 2, and 3.
Okay. We were both advisors at 4.
Yes. And 5, I wasn't there.
5, I was an advisor at.
Yeah.
I didn't make it to any of the Jawbreakers, so this would probably be, what, Jawbreaker 6 now?
Yeah, this would probably be
officially Jawbreaker 6.
This is going to be my first
pulling
one.
Pulling a Fast and Furious, it's just Operation Jawbreaker.
Ooh.
There's no number attached to it officially.
They've never done numbers yeah. after it. It's just Operation Jawbreaker.
Yeah.
So each yeah. one is like a soft reboot.
No.
No, it's continuing.
It's just okay. called Operation Jawbreaker, but like at a certain point when you do them every year, it just yeah. becomes a little ridiculous to have like Operation Jawbreaker 5VVV.
So it's like the sequels V123. Don't name themselves yeah. The original film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But one of the other things we're rebooting with the coming out of Jawbreaker again is the...
Shut up, you.
Raid... I don't know what Megal is doing. Is the Raider course. So that is something that I believe we only did once before.
We did two.
Twice.
Okay, twice there were two before.
The first one was pretty much like only people we know. And then the second one was kind of randoms.
Okay. So it's the Raider course.
That's where Doug came out of.
And Kev grew.
Wow. Well,
that's how Doug really knows us. Was like, he did the Raider course and we're like, oh shit, this kid's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I didn't even realize that.
Kevgrew was in class one.
Kevgrew was in class one.
Yeah, class one.
I remember him taking off his 6 and 4. I'm like, that's a real LBT 6 and 94?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I remember the first Raider course, I almost ate shit tripping over something. It was bad. But the Raider course, what it is it's a way for something that Jawbreaker designed to build up younger players, get them kind of involved with basic tactics that work on the field. So it goes through everything from, you know, various patrolling files to how to set up an ambush to basic tradecraft. Pretty much it's a good way to kind of, you go attend one of these, you hop in the game afterwards, and they only do them for Jawbreaker. It's not like something that runs on a weekly basis because we're not, you know, we don't have the time to do that and we don't want to just kind of oversaturate it.
Yeah. I think we should do them more regularly, but not on a weekly basis.
Right.
Maybe twice a year.
Yeah. I was going to say at most quarterly.
Like before Crimson Skies, before Jawbreaker.
Yeah. The nice part is if you complete the course, you get a Raider tab, and that then, if you have that, allows you to take on advisory roles at the next Jawbreaker. So it kind of incentivizes young players to get more involved with the local community, because if you do it, then you can move on to cooler things. Like, that's actually where Gene Cross came from. He did the Raider course. He then got a special mission at the next Jawbreaker.
Like a pretty dope-ass special mission, too.
Yeah, he was the one that ultimately ended up like running intel between both sides. Like he was doing some cool stuff.
Like, that kid had a cool day that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then ultimately rolled with Coba. But that's another story. But it's just kind of a way to, you know, you put a carrot on the stick for young people, you know, young players, and maybe not necessarily age-wise young, but novice players, to kind of see what's out there.
And maybe even some of the more experienced players who make certain posts on Facebook about how this is terrible. If you want a better experience out of the game, like, this is a way that you can both, A, learn how to get more out of the game by not doing the same thing over and over again that's failing you,
yeah.
and B, that you can get to do more cool things at events.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I wanted to take the Raider course. I just never got around to it. Again, reaching out to other...
You should take it this time.
Maybe I will. I mean, I'll probably wear short shorts just like John.
Oh, yeah.
You and me both, Dave.
Oh, we can do it together.
Oh, yeah, man. I've never done it. Done any Jawbreakers either.
Yeah.
For those who are just hearing this for the first time, I will be, again, co-teaching the Raider course with Jawbreaker. You can look for me. I'll be wearing a t-shirt, some Ranger panties, and a flat brim hat in some sort of plate carrier. So if you see that ridiculous looking guy, just come up and say hi. I promise I won't yell at you.
So honestly, pretty much how we play regularly in the most ridiculous things that we could find.
I've never played...
Yeah, still look tactical.
But still look good.
No, exactly. I've never played a game in Ranger panties. Like, no. I've done walk-arounds at NatOps before.
Yeah.
But never actually played. It's going to be a fun time.
Actually, you know what you should do, Dave?
What should I wear?
Wear your cut-up cries, because I assume the people who are going to this Raider course are the kids who spend ridiculous sums of money, of their parents' money.
Yeah.
For all that cry stuff.
I should, actually.
Wear it now, they will lose their fucking
minds. Dude, I got looks when we were down in Georgia. Everyone's like, yo, are those real? I was like, yeah, they're ACs. I literally cut the bottoms off a pair of Cry ACs.
Did you cut the knees?
Does not
the
compute.
Knee.
There's a little bit of knee showing, like just enough to realize that it's actually Cry. I actually,
the absolute madman.
I might have a line on some other good that I'm going to do that to too. So.
Oh my god.
literally, some people just like to watch the world burn, and that's what I enjoy doing.
So, you should find like a ruined pair of NCs, the AOR 1s or 2s.
Working on it.
So I got a question for you. I don't know if you can answer it yet. Is there going to be a night game at this Jawbreaker? And is it going to be like Jawbreaker 1 night game? Or is it going to be like the later Jawbreaker night games?
So that is something I'm...
Because if you want to make Jawbreaker 1 night game happen, I'm in for being an actor NPC for that.
Jawbreaker and I are already talking about the night game, if it's possible to make it happen or not. If it is, we have some ideas floating around. It's just really going to depend on Cousins being the field owner, if they'll allow us to do it, and what's built, because Big Game is 2 weeks before Jawbreaker.
Yes.
So they're doing a field build-up, but we don't know how that's going to impact what we'll have for the night game. So there's a lot in flux right now. I'm pushing for it because I think that adds a good experience for that most people don't get at all.
Yeah. Jawbreaker 1 night game was absolutely amazing.
I wasn't there for that. And for what I heard, it was tits. Like, just craziness.
Yeah.
Like, brought it back to, like, combat quorum.
Yeah, it was, like, to tell war stories
here.
Those
are some words right there.
Yeah, no, I went there, I dropped that.
Those are some fuzzy body warms.
To tell war stories, you know, for Jawbreaker 1, the night game, it was, you know, Joey and Ronnie briefed us, and they're like, you know, we're going to be out there, we're going to be playing, you know, CIA dudes. You need to find us, there's a challenge, you know, like, response that you need to exchange with us to figure out. Because there was someone hiding out there who was not Joey and Ronnie outside the village. And if you ran into them, they would clap you up. So you had to find Joey and Ronnie and not kill them.
Okay.
Get them. They would give you the mission, which was that, you know, they went to buy intel from these locals in the village. The village, they turned out to be, like, bad dudes. They took the money, shot at them. They ran off. You're their reinforcements. You're coming in to help them. And then you went and you raided the village.
Okay.
And, you know, you kind of got graded on, like, how quickly you found them, how well you found them, how quickly you raided the village, how well you raided the village.
Right. Now, I have some ideas kicking around in my head that I think would kind of set it off pretty nice. But again, we'll talk offline about
that. Yeah, because I can also bring to you some of the stuff that we did at Monty's Games that will definitely feed right into this.
Okay.
And so I guess that really goes over, like, my second favorite thing from the Jawbreaker games. My favorite was just being an advisor at 4. You know, the last full Jawbreaker. Because 5 was a Jawbreaker, but it wasn't all the way. But, like, you know, distributing missions to people, being, like, part of the story and helping communicate that to players was really cool to me.
Yeah, I mean, as much as some of the Jawbreakers were rough for me personally, just with kind of how the days played out, it is definitely rewarding to kind of see strategies that you're planning take shape, work out effectively, and then see how your leadership and tasking other people with it working and their response back to that. That's something that was personally rewarding for me. Because, like, if I can be like, hey, you know, I promise you, if you go to this flank in 15 minutes and wait for the action to pop off and then push, you will be successful. Like, just trust me. I'm going to make sure it happens for you. And they're like, oh, it's like, trust me. And then when it does, and they come back all, you know, shit-eating grins, like, we just murked that entire village. I'm like, I told you. So, like, just have a little faith, you know? So it's that, you just kind of, I need to adjust my mindset when I'm the general mode versus I want to slay everybody because it's what I want to have happen is not happening.
And actually, that's the advisors and utilizing the more established players is a good way to keep the game from being too lopsided. Because that's what happened at Jawbreaker 2, was it was like Crimson Skies, where all the body slayers went on one side.
Yep.
And this is probably one of your worst memories.
Yeah, that
but
was,
it was when
that was
me,
a rough day.
Phoenix, and Josh, who was the commander of the enemy team, walked the mortar into your spawn.
I wasn't personally there for that.
No,
I was somewhere else.
Phoenix handed it to Ronnie.
Yeah, I know. I heard about it on.
And Ronnie had like a mental breakdown.
Yeah,
I heard about that. That was brutal.
But no, it's a good way to prevent that from happening.
Yeah.
Because you take those players and you utilize them, and it's a situation where okay, like what we did at Crimson Skies, where we made a push happen.
Right.
That ends up happening at Jawbreaker, but it keeps it from being just a constant push where one side's stuck in spawn.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's, you know, it's unfortunate that kind of the reins are on a lot of the more seasoned players. But again, the whole point of Jawbreaker isn't really so much to just go out and push someone's shit in. It's, to a certain extent, you're telling a story. To a certain extent, it's also to benefit the local community, because, like, if we wanted to just do private games, we could.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not what the intent of Jawbreaker is. It's to...
It's to show people there's a lot more to this game.
Right. It's, you're not just going speed softing in an indoor field or in a village. Like, there's much more that this game can actually do if you want a different experience. But I think this is a good transition point to the best memory from a Jawbreaker game.
So what's yours? Because I've already gone on a couple rants here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's my best, but one of my fondest memories that I have from a Jawbreaker game is when, I think it was either Jawbreaker 2. Was Jawbreaker 2 the PCU?
Yeah, Jawbreaker 2 was when you were General Sausage, because you had the PCU, and you looked like a sausage.
Yeah.
Because one, General you had the Cad Sausage. Pat.
No, it was, it was a bad look. Like, that was
The Cad Pat one?
It was Fat Jungle.
It was Fat Jungle days, yeah.
It was Fat Jungle in a PCU that was a little too small.
Yeah.
So, like, the pictures that I found from the other
Cad
day.
Pat wasn't small, it was just the ridiculous FAPC.
Yeah. No, it was just a ridiculous Cad Pat.
Yeah.
No, because it was like this on him.
Yeah. It was a tactical sports bra.
Yeah. It's a good look.
Jawbreaker 2, my favorite, my most candid memory, is when we were just getting our shit pushed in all damn day, and then it was like the last hour of the game, and Joey finally turns to me and says, "You are no longer worth points to the other team if you die." So I slapped in a fresh mag in my PTW and took off fucking...
Oh, that was when I switched sides to join you guys.
Yes.
Yeah, and we just put together that Merc squad.
So he's like, I was like, "You're 100%. I'm not worth points anymore. I can die as many times as I want in the next hour, and it's not going to impact the overall score except objectives." Yes. Threw a fresh mag in the PTW, booked it down the trail to fucking village, and I was like, "I am stacking as many fucking bodies as I can till they shoot me."
Sounds like a pretty solid mentality, as most of us have.
Well, and I was surprised, because I was like, yes, I fucking yelled, took off, and then I look behind me as I'm like halfway down the trail, and no one is following. And I was like,
typical.
Fuck it. So I think I got like 5 or 6 people before I ultimately got, you know, clapped up. But that is probably one of the most candid ones, because I was just so excited to not have the chains on anymore, where I'm like, time to make some fucking differences. I'm going to enact some foreign policy right now. Like,
yep.
As far as my other favorite possible memory, I mean, it was probably Jawbreaker 1, because I was with Bo, Ronnie, Jesus, and I think 1 or 2 randos.
Sounds like a hell of a weekend in Vegas.
We were,
Yep.
We were supposedly doing something at this drug refinery that was in a corner of the field. And what I didn't know is they were working with to defuse or deactivate the facility, you know? And it was on a timer. I am on lookout with Jesus, and I just keep seeing more and more of the other team creeping closer and closer to us. And I'm like, "Ronnie and Bo, are you almost done? Because, like, there's only 6 of us, and I'm counting, like, 18-ish right now? Like, it's getting a little hairy."
Yeah.
Finally, they're like, you know, it's to the point now where, like, they're in AEG range. They can see us. I can see them. I'm like, "Guys, we need to, like, fucking boot scoot, or we're about to, like, get wrecked." So then they're like, "All right, yeah, finally we're done." And then I was like, "Guys, fucking book it. Like, just break hard left. Like, we need to get the hell out of here." So Jesus does his, just snaps into fucking paintball mode. Has the gun, one hand on his shoulder, just fucking dumping mags, clearing a lane, and we're just following him.
sounds like typical Jesus.
Yeah, I was like, holy hell. We eventually make it back to Firebase, and, you know, it was fine. We got the points for that mission. But as I was speaking with Jawbreaker after the event, I was like, "Yo, what happened? What was going on? What were they doing there?" Turns out they were just literally waiting for it to get as dicey as it could possibly be. And there was no actual timer.
That's great.
They were just looking to have the other team have this cool creep moment and then us fight our way out of it. And I was like, "All right, I get it.
Fair. All right.
Just a fucking sitting duck for everyone to shoot at and cat pat."
I can dig with that.
Cap hat seems like a great idea until you wear it.
Cap hat's never a good idea.
Yeah.
No, that's Sirupage. Milk was a bad choice. Sirupage is... People definitely notice it.
Yeah, because it's got lime green in it.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's
there's green, and then there's like Cad Pat green.
No, but like that held a special place to me for a while, because that I got at Pine Plains 4 from Canuck, who, when we were vending, he was like, you know, this is awesome, what are you guys having, blah, 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 I'll be there the next morning. I was like, that's fine, you know, just whatever. He's like, is there anything you want? I was like, I mean, if you have Cad Pat, we can't get it here, so like, I'll take it. And he's like, oh, no shit, I have a spare set, here you go. And I was like, oh, word? Like, you don't even want money for this?
Yeah, I remember when you got that, you were so stoked on it. Yeah. And then we're like, oh, it's Cad Pat.
Then I was like, this is actually dumb because it's in no way effective anywhere. So it's more just that.
Not at all.
Just show up stunting on people like, you got Cad Pat? Didn't think so. Anyways, what's your favorite memory, Mike?
That's pretty rough. I would actually say, because I've gone over a couple already, I'll do my final one, which is at Jawbreaker 2's night game. Which was when we had to defend that village on the other side of the parking lot, where you're down, it's in like the little
That's
depression.
Still Dodge City.
Yeah. I can remember the name of that field.
Dodge City.
So I had just built up the troll gun, which was a combat machine body that I did a brutal gearbox build, and it was the first gun that I ever did the G-hop to. Okay. So it was shooting like insanely far. And I'd just gotten my first set of Peltors, you know, starting to get my cool guy stuff. And so I'm shooting from the side of one of the bunkers. And do you remember the dude that used to come around who had, like, the ghost from Modern Warfare 2 kit?
Dave's guy?
No, it wasn't Dave.
No, this is...
No, he had, like, the flight suit and everything and the lower mask. He hasn't been around in a long time.
But I'm sure if I saw him, I
me and him were rolling face at that night game. Okay. But, like, I was just so focused down my scope that literally he was just... He had his hand on my drag handle and was just like pulling me back in when shit got too dicey, like shoving me out the other side, pulling me back in, shoving me out the other side. And it was just like anything that showed anything I was able to hit with that setup. And it was just like, I felt like a god.
So you're just like a door gunner that someone was just...
Yeah, literally like, they can't see this, but like just hold, push.
It's an audio show. Yeah, so, hold, yeah, no, they can't.
Push.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, that would be pretty hilarious, especially with your frame. So. Yeah. Okay.
It's pretty much just like a pick and put you where you need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's just a mobile turret.
Yeah.
Yeah. That works.
Okay.
Steemo, what's your favorite?
Oh, wait, you've never been?
Yeah, I haven't either, so.
Nope.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is.
So, do you have any questions about Jawbreaker, since you will be going? You have no choice in the matter. I'll come to your house and drag you out if you don't go.
I would love to see that.
You're going to drag me out?
I'll have Doug help me.
Okay. I would still love to see that.
If you fucking, like, grab
I'll have Doug
me,
and
like,
Schultz
you're coming
help me.
With... You're coming with me. I'll just go about my day. You just, like, you latched on to me.
Master Blaster.
I'll have Schultz and Doug help me.
It's like when a kid doesn't want to go to bed. They're just literally laying, like, grabbed onto your leg as you're just taking your step and dragging them across the floor. That's
be dragging. He weighs, like, 50 pounds.
Well, yeah, you can totally drag him across the floor. Yeah, soaking wet. Jesus full of Christ. Clothes. But yeah, I would actually pay good money to see that. I would love to see you try and just drag Demo out of his house.
I'll just get a taser.
Please look at him. Goddamn sexual tyrannosaur. You think you can?
Sure, that'll just excite him.
He'd just laugh.
Yeah.
He'd be like, "Ooh, more, please."
Oh, 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 oh. I mean, it's not so much a Jabba, but you know,
should become Mongo.
Mongo not know. Mongo just pawn in Game of Life.
But it's going to be a good game, and I'm glad that actually pretty much Crimson Skies kicked off this
one. There were some really good, with the exception of a couple of herbs, there were some really good responses.
Oh, you mean the entire tan team?
Ooh.
I meant like responses, because even a lot of people who played on Army and got booty blasted were still like, this could have been cool.
Yes. There were a lot of people that were like, wow, this was awesome.
Well, everyone enjoyed themselves on tan team. It's just, for whatever reason, like, whenever we gave orders, like, no one wanted to listen.
Demo, talk into the mic.
With the exception of my group.
There you go.
So, I mean, we had a couple pipe hitters, but no, it's...
Again?
Trying to get them to do something was like pulling teeth.
Again, like, when you see Jawbreaker, when you see Raider class, and you see, like, what can happen when you actually coordinate and work together, it's insane. Yeah. Like that
first,
second,
you gotta get the people to coordinate.
Like that's what that's what Raider class is for. Yeah. That second Raider class, when we taught those literally kids to pull off ambushes and buddy movement, I'm like, this is the coolest fucking thing ever.
Yeah. But you also got to look at, you know, not to be like the negative Nancy here, but look at the player style back then, and look at the player style now.
I think we can convert
in the sense that the Raider class, it was, especially the second one, was a lot of the Strike Force kids.
Yeah.
And that's where at Strike Force, you are able to lone wolf it and still be effective and feel like you're doing something productive.
Yeah.
Outdoors, you're going to get fucking smoked. And that's where squad integrity and working as a unit goes leaps and bounds versus someone like, nah, dude, I'm awesome. I'm just going to do my thing. And it's never going to work out for you.
I don't know. Unfortunately, I look at it as those lone wolves would be like, nah, I don't need anybody. And then they're going to go to the game and then they're going to get smoked. So maybe not this Raider class, but maybe the next one is where we're really going to start seeing a big number in attendance.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see like a 50-50 turnout. Like, people are going to attend the course just like, okay, I've learned what I need to know, but fuck it, I'm just going to do whatever I have to do.
Yeah.
Experience the game and realize, oh, fuck, those guys were right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Because, I mean, like, anyone who's on Tan Team saw what me and John did with bounding movement up a hill.
Making that face, you've seen it before?
No, I just thought of the best troll idea for the Raider class.
Oh, God.
Oh, Christ.
Yeah, it's kind of once you show them the light that they kind of start believing it. But to your point, Dave, I do think that this one probably won't be attended that well.
Yeah.
But for the next one, they will.
I'm student.
Yeah.
That's fine.
it'll be Demo and Dave.
I'll put an apple on your desk.
If I have a desk, that would be great.
Ask for a Red Rider BB gun.
We can make that happen.
Yeah.
plus.
Yeah, I think the second one would probably be attended better, but in order to maybe appeal to the Strike Force kids for this first one, maybe I'll teach the entire class in a die I-5.
Challenge?
Kill yourself.
Challenge.
Kill yourself.
No. Okay. Challenge.
No, I'll do it in a backward snapback and a die I-5.
Done. That's just the way it is.
Do it while you're dead, after you've hung yourself and drank bleach.
And if anybody wants to see that, that will be up on our Instagram. It has been airsoft_podcast. Or you can follow...
/Suicide.
HBA_jungle now?
Yep, HBA_jungle. Oh, it's your boy right here. I'll be putting out all the wonderful troll posts.
He means Puddin, P-U-D-D-I-N, like putting it out.
Putting it out.
I wish we had video right now, or I'd go get a cup of bleach for you.
Yeah.
Hashtag Reddit bleach chug.
But if you guys, if you guys have any questions about the Raider course or any of the local games, or just fucking want to tell us we suck, it doesn't matter. Shoot us a message. Shoot us a comment. Anything. Reach out to us. We don't care what you say, and we're gonna laugh with you. So,
or at you, or you'll laugh at us, and we'll laugh at you laughing at us.
Yeah,
yeah.
Or but no, like real talk. Like, really, if you guys have something you want to hear us talk about, or you have a question for us, or anything,
rant on, pontificate on. I can use the big words now that Doug's not here.
Oh, that's right.
So, if there's anything you want to hear,
what?
That's SAT words. You're still in college.
Yeah, you're still in college. There's still hope for you. So if there's anything you want us to talk about explicitly, expressly, like, doesn't have to be limited to the Long Island scene. If it's national event news that you haven't heard us talk about, you know, by all means, it's an open door, or whatever you want us to rant about. As long as it's airsoft related, we'll gladly talk
about
it.
At least tangentially airsoft related.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but other than that, I think that brings us to a close. We're going to put this episode to bed, tuck it in, sing it goodbye, give it its, you know, milk and cookies for the night, and... go ahead and wrap it up.
It's time to stop.
Don't forget to read A Good Night Moon with the cow jump. Yeah, that's right.
You're welcome for that. If you give a mouse a cookie, if you give a moose a muffin,
but if you give a pig a pancake.